I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks keep you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Mark Mawinney. Mark is a lifelong entrepreneur. He began his coaching business after starting several other companies, including one that grew to 100 employees. Mark's passion and specialty help other coaches build successful businesses by defining their target markets, implementing systems to better manage their time, and make more sales. Mark launched the Natural Born Coaches podcast, a daily podcast where he interviews successful coaches to help support the worldwide coaching community. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So I'm so glad to be able to have you as a guest on my podcast. Mark and I met recently through John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire, through his community. We've gotten to know each other, and it's just a thrill to have you on as a guest, Mark.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your background as an entrepreneur, and then we're going to get into your coaching business.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed when you mentioned about in the beginning about roadblocks, because I've had my fair share of roadblocks and detours and craters in the road and a couple cliffs I've driven off of as well. So I'm a lifelong entrepreneur that's experienced the ups and downs. And it's like that old the image that you've seen often, what people think success looks like, the straight line going up, and what success really is with the squiggly lines and the reversals and everything else. So I've kind of run the gamut. You know, I've had long stretches of a lot of success and few stumbles along the way. And then I've had periods where it seems like nothing's going right. And I've dealt with business closure and bankruptcy and, you know, people controversy and people attacking me and so on. So I've really kind of lived the whole entrepreneur experience. I really started when I was 21 years old. I got started in real estate in my local market, and that was a business I built up to 100 employees, you know, and that was through a period throughout my 20s, really a straight line up for 10 years where it seemed like nothing could go wrong. And then I went through a period of two business closures, that business and another one, in about a five-year span, which really tested me and I guess now looking back made me a better entrepreneur and stronger, but at the time it certainly didn't feel like that. So it everything that's happened in the past has led me to where I'm at now, which is coaching and helping other coaches build their businesses and with the podcast and everything else going on. So really excited. I'm looking forward to the rest of 2015.
So, Mark, why do you do coaching? What made you get into coaching specifically?
Well, I think I was really coaching all my life. I just didn't realize it. You know, all those years in real estate, I was coaching employees and salespeople that were working for me. And I was always a coach, but I didn't identify myself as a coach. And when I went through those stumbles, it was really after the business closure that I looked outside for help. I'm like, I can't figure out everything by myself. And for so many years, I'd been a lone wolf, like a lot of entrepreneurs, where I felt like I could take on the world, and you're almost afraid to get help because you feel like it's a sign of weakness. And that really changed me. I was humbled. I opened up. I said, I don't know everything. I could use some help. And I had some help from some great mentors and coaches. And that really introduced me to the whole world of coaching, because before then, I never even really entertained it. Back in those years when I was coming up through real estate, I never had a quote coach helping me out, and that opened me up. And I thought, going forward, when I was looking at my new journey where I was going to be going in life, I thought, I really want to help other people and coach them just like I got help here, and I want to help them improve their lives, as, you know, cliche as it sounds. So that's where really I got into the whole coaching business, and I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Mark, do you find that entrepreneurs are more open to coaching or less open to coaching or getting help at different points in their entrepreneurial journey? Like, are they more or less open to it, as an example, very early on as an entrepreneur, or does it change with entrepreneurs that have more experience? What have you found?
Yeah, I mean, I think my situation is probably similar to a lot of entrepreneurs. When you're young, 20-something, you know, you feel like you can, you know everything, right? And you can take on the world and you don't need coaching, you don't need help. And I'm finding that as well. A lot of the people who are coming to me for coaching are older coaches, or they're at least in my age bracket. I'm in my, you know, mid-30s. And so I don't think there's any standard answer to that. I've met some good young people that get it at 20, 22 years old that know that they need a coach. But you do get a lot of people that are early on that feel like they haven't gone through those stumbles and that heartache to know what it's like to have to pick yourself back up, and they haven't seen the benefits of having a coach. But I will say that the coaching industry, it's becoming much more accepted, even in the last few years compared to before, say in the 1990s or in the 2000s. It's becoming more normal, and people are realizing that they really should have a coach to help them stay accountable and stay on track towards their goals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in my business, which has a coaching element to it, I find the same thing, that generally people who are younger, particularly those who haven't had some major failures, tend not to appreciate the value of help.
No, and you think that the sun's always going to be shining. And one thing I said after I experienced a business closure in 2009, I said, I'll never take success for granted again. And that's why now when I'm enjoying it again and I'm seeing the fruits of the labor with my coaching and with everything going on in the podcast, I'm making an effort to really enjoy it, because I felt that throughout my 20s, I didn't. You know, I was just too busy. I was working and I took it a little bit for granted. And now I'm enjoying each of those successes that much more.
Great. So, Mark, tell me a little bit about your podcast and why you decided to start it.
Yeah, In 2014, I started to look at different avenues, you know, for my coaching business. And of course, there's so many out there. I mean, you've got, you know, I blog, and I've never been a big video guy, but, you know, that was an option. I thought maybe I should get out there and do some videos. And I don't know, I'd always listened to podcasts, and I absolutely loved podcasts, but the whole thought of me podcasting just didn't enter into my mind. And that was on the list of things I thought, okay, for initiatives to launch by the end of the year, then I'm going to look at podcasting. And it really got the start from, as you mentioned, John Lee Dumas. I'd always listened to Entrepreneur on Fire like every day religiously, and it just gave me such a kick and a shot in the arm there, and motivated me. And so I'd been connected with John a few years on social media. We'd sent some messages back and forth and everything. And I decided, you know what, if I'm going to learn how to do it, I'm going to go to the best. You know, he's done so much with podcasting, with his business in a relatively short amount of time. And started doing coaching, a program that he had, as you know, Podcasters Paradise, and it went from there. So I launched on November 17th, and that's a good example too. I didn't think I'd be able to launch by that date. My original date was the end of December. I said by December 31st, I'm going to launch a podcast, but I committed to myself I was going to be launching by November 17th, which had a special meaning for me. My grandfather passed away back in November 17th, 1993. And so that date always kind of stayed in my mind every year that it's rolled around for the last 20-some years. And in a way, it was a way to pay some tribute to him. I thought, I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to actually get it rolling 6 weeks earlier than I thought. Instead, December 31st, I'm going to launch it on November 17th. And I did make it. Now, without a lot of time to spare, it was literally right under the wire. But November 17th, the Natural Born Coaches podcast launched.
That's terrific. And what about your grandfather inspired you in particular with the podcast?
Well, I mean, my grandfather was, you know, he's a great man. I grew up outside the city. I have a twin brother, and we grew up in a beautiful waterfront community, Mesa's Bay, New Brunswick, here in Canada. And our grandparents lived literally next door, is where my parents built their house. And we were always spending time over there, and he was very supportive and just, you know, like they're just awesome grandparents to have. And when he passed away in 1993, that was actually the first death I'd ever experienced of a loved one. And so it hit me, and it hit my brother and our family really hard when that happened. But this was a small way with the podcast launching on that date that I could replace November 17th with something that had, you know, a lot of negative emotions and sadness and everything with something that's actually a positive there. And as said, it's a way to pay tribute to him. So I think that's important for entrepreneurs when you're setting goals, is find something that motivates you and then anchor yourself with that. Whatever feeling it is. In my case, it was a date that had special meaning, and it could be anything that motivates you as an entrepreneur. But, you know, I got so much done in the fall preparing for that podcast that I accomplished more than I thought I ever could to get it launched in time for November 17th, especially for a daily podcast, which is a ton of work.
It is a ton of work. So I'm very inspired by you.
Well, thank you.
And how's it been going since you've launched?
It's been so much fun. You know what it's like with podcasting. It's addictive. Anyone who is thinking about getting into podcasting, I wouldn't take it lightly, because as said, it is a lot of work, but I would really encourage you to look at it, because I get to talk to successful coaches every single day, you know, and it's just so motivating. And I'd been talking to successful coaches really all last year before the podcast launched. It was in an unofficial capacity. You know, I was Skyping with a couple a day, picking their brain. And that's where the idea of the podcast came. I thought, you know what, I'm talking to a few successful coaches every single day from around the world. I really should be doing something with it, like recording it, so other coaches could get benefit from that. They could be a fly on the wall and listen in to all the great advice that I'm getting. So it's really neat how it all came about.
And I know that the quality of your content is really high, and that you've made it into iTunes New and Noteworthy in the first week, which is pretty awesome. Very few people are able to do that.
Yeah, that was a really big thrill, because you have, as you know, 8 weeks to get into that New and Noteworthy category. That's from when you submit to iTunes. And for anyone who doesn't know, iTunes is really kind of the big gorilla in the podcasting industry. I think somewhere around 85 to 90% of podcasts are listened to on iTunes, compared to Stitcher and some of the other places. So you have 8 weeks essentially from when it's submitted to iTunes to crack into this New and Noteworthy. But once you're into that page, more and more people are seeing it, because they're opening up their iTunes store and they're seeing the podcast right there. And I noticed we launched, I think it was 3 days after it launched. And I noticed that was a big spike with the numbers, and they've continued on since there. So it was a real big thrill for that to happen.
Hey, Mark, what are some of the unexpected results that you have seen because you've been doing this podcast?
Well, I mean, there's a few things. Obviously, for when it comes to working with people, I work with coaches. But before the podcast, I had to do a lot more selling of myself when I was approaching a prospect, because they didn't know who I was. So they would have to check out, you know, some different things like blog posts, or there'd be more conversations. And I guess a cool thing now is there's been people who've contacted me that have listened to every show or to a lot of the shows. And so they already know that, hey, this guy's serious. If he's podcasting every day and he's giving this value and trying to help coaches, then obviously he has to be passionate about it. Now, I wouldn't be doing a podcast every day if it was on something like bird watching, you know, for example, or something that just didn't excite me. I'd do it for about a week and then I'd be done. But the reason I've been able to do so many shows with Natural Born Coaches, and we'll be able to do, you know, 350 or 400 shows a year, is because it's something I'm passionate about.
Do you think that the podcast has had any impact on the way your business has developed with respect to your particular geographic location?
Well, the thing with my business, I don't focus really on my local market. I have worked with a few coaches that are in around here, but I'm from a relatively small province. You know, we're under 1 million people. We're not like your case where you're in New York. You're kind of, you know, the center of the of everything there in New York. And
I know New Yorkers like to think they're the center of the universe, whether they are or not.
Yeah, my son, of course, is into all the comic book movies and shows and Avengers and everything else. And he made a comment like that the other day. He said, you know, all the superheroes in New York, we should move to New York. I think he thinks Spider-Man's swinging outside David's window, you know, while we're doing the podcast or something.
I'm watching him now.
But yeah, it's just, it's not in New York. It's not in LA. It's not, you know, Toronto, I guess, to put in Canadian terms. It's a small area. So I made a concerted effort that I wouldn't rely on my local market, that I would focus from away. And the really neat thing is the people that are contacting me are from all over. I've actually dealt with some people in the UK, and that came from some of the guests that were on the show. I had a string of a few weeks where I had probably four guests from the UK, and other great guests have come on from the UK. So I've had people in that area, in that part of the world contacting me, and it's really neat how it all happens. So the nice thing nowadays with Skype and everything else is it really does connect the world. It makes the world a smaller place. And a lot of people don't even know where I live, you know. I probably have a bit of that Canadian accent, you know. If I say a boot or something, you have to pardon me. Or if I say a, but a lot of people don't even know that I'm from Canada. And then they ask where I'm from. And, you know, I tell them because I don't have that need to sit down and meet with them at the local coffee shop. They don't care. As long as there's a Skype connection, then I can do my thing and I can help them grow their business.
It is pretty remarkable what one can do today. So, Mark, given the fact that you're an entrepreneur yourself and you also help coaches, what are some of the qualities that you see that are helpful for entrepreneurs to have?
I think one of the big ones is they're not afraid to take action and to take action quickly. And it's for the most part, that's a positive trait. It can sometimes be a negative when you're leaping before you look. And that's where I have gotten into trouble in the past. But it's also helped me. Any successes I've had, I haven't dilly-dallied and dithered. You know, I've just done it and I've moved quickly. And I think that's what the coaches that I deal with that do the best are the ones that are able to move quickly on something. They don't take 6 months trying to, well, good example, take podcasting, for example, because I'm helping some of them set up podcasts. The people I'm working with, I tell them, look, take, you know, a couple days or take a week to pick a name, but don't, for your podcast, but don't take 6 months to think of a name or try to work out cover art, you know, for your podcast or, you know, a business name for your coaching. Just pick a name that you like and then move on from it. And so many people that are entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs are spending way too much time on things that they shouldn't be spending time on, and when they should just forget about trying to be perfect and just get out there and do it. Because if you're not out there, then you're not going to be getting your business started.
Yeah, no, it's true. Perfectionism is the enemy of the entrepreneur.
Definitely.
So, Mark, speaking of successes, what have been some of your biggest successes?
I mean, like I mentioned early on, I had that period throughout my 20s where it was all success, you know, like I was the top agent and always, or one of the top agents in a market of 300 agents or so, and, you know, getting a lot of awards and recognition on that end and everything. Going forward to the podcasting is just the big success for me coming from it, as you mentioned, was with the new and noteworthy, but getting clients coming to me now, because there was a stretch there where I'm putting in all this effort and then I wasn't getting the kind of results that I thought I should have been getting. And it's really like that old analogy that you're farming, you know, you're planting your seeds and you're watering them or you're waiting for everything to come to fruition. And it's no different with coaching. So you just have to, if you're a coach or an entrepreneur, put the work in every day, but then there's got to be some patience to wait to see the results. You can't expect to get the results in a matter of a week. And that's what happened when the results started to come to me for coaching. Then that was, I guess, validation for all the efforts I'd put in and those lean periods where I was putting in all the effort and I wasn't getting the kind of results that I wanted. They will come if you put the effort in. You just have to be patient.
Do you have any tips for our listeners on how to have faith and be patient when you're putting in all the effort, but you're just not seeing any results? At least Ooh. You're not seeing results yet.
Mm. Yeah, the advice I give would be patient, but I know people are probably thinking like, oh God, you know, because I was in that position before where I heard people telling me, you got to be patient, you got to be patient. You feel like just, you know, turning it off and not listening. Like, they don't know anything what I'm going through, and I've done this, I've done that. Why isn't it working? It's just a big ball of, it can be a big ball of frustration. So I don't want to come across as one of those people that just says, okay, you know, being nonchalant. Oh, you got to be patient. I know how difficult it is as an entrepreneur when you're waiting for those results and you're waiting for the revenues to come in. But unfortunately, it's just part of the game, you know. The one thing I would say for entrepreneurs, and the thing that I love about being an entrepreneur, if it was easy to be successful, everybody would be out there doing it. It would just be like having a 9-to-5 job. It'd just be normal. And the fact that it's difficult, the world's going to test you, and the universe is going to test you, make sure that you really want it. So you're there, it's going to make you go through some delays and wait and test your faith, I guess. But you just have to stick with it. Just keep your head down. You got 365 days in the run of a year times 24 hours. If you're working a lot of those hours and you're hustling and you're grinding, it's going to come eventually.
Right. No, it's true that the world does test you. But on the flip side, how do you know when what you're doing is not going to work and it's time to give up?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in that place a couple times, you know, with business closures. And I guess a lot of times, at least in my case, the decision was made for me. There was literally no way to keep going because I just had this huge mountain of debt and things going against me that I had held on as long as I could and try to make it work. And it just wasn't going to work. The one thing I would say when you know it's not working, if you're doing something that you're absolutely miserable in and you're just not happy anymore, and that was the case with me with real estate, I just wasn't enjoying it. You know, it was getting to a point where I was the last person being paid. I was getting people coming at me all the time, and it wasn't fun. It was no way to live. And I had been in that mindset, that kind of bricks and mortar mindset, where I thought whatever I have to be doing has to be, say, real estate related. It's got to be something that you can physically touch with, you know, an office, a roof there. You have to have all the bricks and mortar with it. And what I realized from making the change and the shift to coaching is it doesn't have to be like that. You know, with my business I do now, there's, yeah, some overhead with some expenses and you've got virtual assistants and everything else, but I'm not responsible for 100 people that are coming into the office every day, and I'm responsible for being the rainmaker for them to eat and to pay the bills. You know, I'm responsible for myself, and the work I'm doing is helping my family, but I don't have those huge responsibilities. So business is meant to be fun, and there's going to be ups and downs, but if you're consistently not having fun and you absolutely hate it, don't kill yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what I tried didn't work, didn't have the right model. And that's the way it was with me with real estate. I just, for years, had the right model, and towards the end, it wasn't the right model. Well, then you move on and you do something else. You know, it's not the end of the world. And I think you'd be surprised. You can have a better second act, and then you can look back like I do and think, you know, thank God I'm out of that and I'm doing something I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, and I think actually your comment about having fun is a really astute one. Because when you're working hard at something that you enjoy, you're motivated to do it, to get up early in the morning, work late at night, and keep at it even when success seems to be around the corner but not here yet. That's one thing. But when it's not fun anymore and not successful, that you're right. That's an indicator that maybe it's time to move on. So, Mark, what are some of the ways when you've hit your own plateau and you've become stuck, what are some of the ways that you've managed to turn things around?
Well, I love the title of your podcast because I think entrepreneurship is a lot of smashing things and trying to break through ceilings and barriers. As mentioned, I had probably a 5-year period where things weren't working the way that I wanted them to be working. And I think entrepreneurship is just a matter of trying new things and always be doing something, but then recognizing if it's not the right thing and then moving on. So I'll give you an example. When I started coaching, I want to work with any entrepreneurs, you know, because that was my background. So I'm going to work with a broad range entrepreneurs. And I thought, well, that looks good because that's a wide market and there's lots of potential clients. And what I realized a little ways into it was I just wasn't getting the results that I wanted. Because the market was too wide. and it wasn't defined enough, and I really needed to choose a niche and work with it. So I decided to look and say, okay, who do I enjoy working with from the people I'm working with now, and who do I have the best track record with and enjoy? And that was with coaches. I liked working with other coaches, loved helping them build their business, pick their programs and everything else. So I narrowed my niche down to work with just coaches. And then that led to the podcast and everything else that's happened. So that's the biggest key when it comes to smashing plateau is it's not going to do you any good if you're just sitting at home and you're kind of in a negative mindset and you're whining and complaining and woe is me. You got to get out there and you got to take action. And Dale Carnegie talks about that in his book. It's not How to Win Friends, Influence People, but it's his book about worry. You know, basically how to stop worrying and start living is the name of it. And he talks about the best antidote to worry is action, because you just make yourself so busy out there doing things you don't have time to think negative. And that's what I'd recommend if entrepreneurs are going through a rough time, they have to smash through a plateau, then just get out there and just don't worry about being perfect. Just try different things and see what works.
Yeah, well, you're right. Business is all about iteration, and it's you got to try something, see what works, see what doesn't work, tweak, and then improve.
Yeah, and I'm still doing it nowadays. It's not like I'm like, oh, okay, you know, the podcast is going. We're getting a good number of downloads. I've got some clients coming in. So there we go. Everything's perfect, and I can put her on cruise control. You know, every day I'm still doing that that process of tinkering. I mean, the bills are being paid, and I'm happy with the way things are going. But am I where I want to be going forward? No, I want to be doing a lot more. I want to impact as many lives as possible. So I'm not just resting on what the laurels or whatever's happened to this point. I'm still in that process of experimenting and meeting new people and trying new things.
That's great. Mark, who has helped you smash the plateau?
Well, there's a person that was really, really helpful when I went through a business closure, Rivers Corbett, and I've had him on as a guest on my podcast before. Rivers is a serial entrepreneur. He lives about 2 hours away from my home city, and when I went through that closure back in 2009, he contacted me. I'd never met him before. I'd heard the name, but I didn't know much about him, and he wanted to meet up for a coffee. And well, I don't drink coffee. I had a hot chocolate, I'm pretty sure, but he and you know, it was funny because I was in that point where I wasn't feeling like getting out and meeting a lot of people, because you've gone through a business closure, you're down in the dumps, you feel like crap, your confidence levels, you know, just not where it should be, and your energy level isn't either. But I drove the, you know, 4 hour round trip or 3 hours, and I did meet with him, and that 1 hour just sitting down with Rivers, and he talked about some of the stumbles he had had and some of his challenges, and he had fought through depression and just everything else. Like, he went through a lot. And after I left there, I thought, like, wow, my mood was instantly changed, because I realized that, you know what, being an entrepreneur, you're going to go through business closure. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just part of the learning curve. And Rivers even said, you know what, you tried something, Mark, it didn't work, but I give you credit for, you know, having the guts to try something. And he's remained a positive part of my life, and I'd consider a coach and a mentor even 5 years later, you know, and he was a very valuable part. So that was person. I mean, other than some of the authors I've read that were big with personal development books to help get me through the dark times, that was a local mentor that had a big impact.
That's very inspiring, and there's nothing quite like face-to-face contact.
Oh, no, there isn't. And it's funny how your mood, if you told me that morning before I met him that my mood would shift that much, I would just say no way, you know, because my mind was in another place, and I was just bouncing off the walls and ready for the next adventure when I left that meeting.
Great. Mark, what are you working on now that you're most excited about?
I mean, the big thing for me, obviously the podcast, like we've talked about, but I'm doing my mentoring, one-on-one mentoring. So I'm working with coaches to help them build their business. And one thing I've also started coaching is people who want to get into podcasting. Because what had happened, I had a lot of people who were asking me questions about podcasting. They just didn't know where to start. And you know, I guess you can Google it and you can watch YouTube videos and everything, but you know what it's like. It's hard to kind of piece it together and know where to go. So I put some programs out just before Christmas on helping people get into podcasting. And for that, it's not necessarily just coaches. You know, it could be someone that wants to start a podcast about antique cars or, you know, anything. So the main focus of my business is helping coaches, but I'm also helping people get into this wonderful world of podcasting, because I really do think it's a great way to get your message out there. So my mentoring falls in those two lines. Like, the top priority is to help coaches and everything, but I am also working with people who want to start podcasts as well.
That's great. So Mark, you mentioned Rivers Corbett as being a big influence on you. Is there somebody else who also has been a big influence?
Yeah, I mean, the book that really had a big impact on me in 2014 was Grant Cardone's The 10X Rule. And I'm not sure if you've read that, but that really shifted my thinking. And his books are all great. You know, he's written some good ones. The first one I actually read was If You're Not First, You're Last. And I liked that one so much I then read The 10X Rule. And The 10X Rule is all about taking your shifting your thoughts to really magnify what you're doing. So he's saying you're probably going to have to put in 10 times the effort what you think you're going to have to put in for success, but you just go out and you do that. And then with your goals too, like, instead of setting, let's say someone out there says, I want to make $100,000 a year. Well, don't put a limit on yourself there. Why not shoot for $1 million? You know, 10x it, and just really think outside the box. And you know what? You may not hit the million. Maybe you make $600,000 or $700,000 that year, but that's a heck of a lot better than $100,000. So the 10X rule, if I'm getting a tattoo at any point in 2015, I'm probably going to tattoo 10X somewhere on my body, just to keep that, you know, front and center, and remind me to keep that 10X thinking.
And a number of my guests have talked about how inspirational Grant Cardone is. So thank you for that.
Yeah, he is. I'd recommend anyone get out there and listen to it. There's great books out there like The Think and Grow Rich and everything else, but that's a more contemporary one that will really change your thinking.
Mark, is there someone else you know personally who's currently doing work that you're especially excited about?
Yeah, there's a fellow who's helped us out, going back to the whole iTunes New and Noteworthy. When we were preparing to launch a podcast, I had a launch team of probably about 100 people who were set to get the word out for the launch and pop into iTunes and rate, review, subscribe, you know, all those things that can help a show. And what I decided, there's a person in a business group that I'm in, his name's Tracy Haynes. And Tracy is all about helping people get authority. So he's about helping you dominate your niche and really getting your name out there. And Tracy asked, he said, Mark, would you like help getting onto New and Noteworthy? Now, I'd known that he helps authors get their books up the list, but I didn't know that he worked with podcasts. And I said, I knew Tracy, I knew what he did for authors. I said, great, you know, I'd love to have you on the team. And he was a big help for us getting into the New and Noteworthy with his team within a couple days. So Tracy has a website. It's called theauthorityedge.com, and he's just all about authority, and it's great for coaches. I've actually referred a lot of people over to him, coaches that I'm working with, because I know he can help them. But he works with really any entrepreneur. It doesn't have to be a coach. So I'd recommend checking out Tracy. T. Allen Haynes is what you're going to find online. That's with his company name and everything else. But theauthorityedge.com is where he's at.
Yeah, I've spoken with Tracy, and he's really just a super, super guy.
Yeah, he is. He's very down to earth, but and he would give you the shirt off his back. Like, he's done so much help for me to promote what I'm doing with my coaching, my podcasting, even when I'm technically not hiring him for a certain project. He's always out there sharing it and everything. So I highly recommend checking out what he's doing.
Those are the kind of people you want to have as part of your support system.
Definitely. And thanks to you too, speaking of support systems, because I know you've shared stuff online and you've been a great help as well. So really appreciate that.
A pleasure. Mark, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
The best place to go, really, the central hub for everything, is naturalborncoaches.com. That's a website. You know, I'm big on Twitter and Facebook and all that, so you can find me at Mark Mawinney on Twitter and like I said, on Facebook and LinkedIn and everything. But really, if you go to naturalborncoaches.com, is the best place to connect. And I love connecting with people, especially positive-minded entrepreneurial people. So please reach out. I'd love to hear from you.
Great. And we'll include that in the show notes. So, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Mark Mawinney, an entrepreneur who just launched the podcast Natural Born Coaches. Thanks again, Mark, for joining
us. Thanks, David.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.